Evening. When you speak from time to time, the subject of what you're going to speak on is an interesting one. Oh, sorry, brother. The subject of what you're going to speak on is an interesting one. And it's very tempting at this time of year to look at Christmas time and the marvel of the incarnation. But that's not what I'm going to do tonight. I was very taken with some of the things my brother Randy Amos was talking about over the last couple of weeks, and just in his last message, as he was speaking about the church, he talked about the church as one of the effects of the gospel. And he talked about the connection that the church has to the risen Christ, the relationship that the church has with the risen Christ. And that's what I'd like to speak about tonight. Now, we were partly in Revelation on Sunday night, and we're going to go all the way to the other end of the scriptures to begin with for our reading in Genesis chapter 1. Just a few verses. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Chapter 2, verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And down to verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet or suitable for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to all the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a help meet or suitable for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. They shall be one flesh." And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. In the first chapters of Genesis, we have so many firsts. I can't even begin to list all of the firsts that are in Genesis. But not least, we have the first inkling of what God intended for man. God made man different from the animals. We breathe the same air. We eat many times the same sorts of food. We drink the same water. And so, to that extent, so much of our body chemistry and even the way our bodies are made up is similar to animals. We have to live in the same environment. We have to do many of the same sorts of things. But there's a difference. There's a difference. Man differs from animals in several areas. And first of all, in chapter 1 and verse 27, we find that man differs from the animals in his distinctive. He is distinctive from the animals, firstly, because he's created in the image of God. Of no animal can it be said. They're created in the image of God. But of man, the Lord said, he was created in God's own image. And this speaks of, it reflects personality. It also says that he was created in the likeness of God. And that may reflect attributes. It also says he created them male and female. Why? What is that supposed to represent? Well, at the very least, it represents relationship. Now, there is a relationship, an eternal relationship within the Godhead, where Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are equal, co-eternal, and forever at the disposal of one another. There's no disunity ever within the Godhead. Everything is done in perfect unity and harmony. There's a perfect relationship. Man was made male and female. Now, very seldom, if at all, do we have a perfect relationship between male and female. Even in the best of marriages, there may be problems. But even at the best of times, we are a poor reflection of God. We do reflect Him, but not completely, not perfectly. Man was also different from the animals as to his dominion. He was to have dominion over all the earth. He's also different from the animals in his destiny. Verse 28, God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. God did not bless the animals in this way. But man, he blessed. And as we read on, we come to a wonderful story of how that Eve was provided for Adam. And so we read of the first husband and wife relationship in all of Scripture. What I'd like to do tonight is to take that picture, that story, and relate it to another husband and wife relationship. The relationship between Christ and the church. Out of the ground, The Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help suitable for him. And so the Lord proceeds to make one specifically suited for him. Now what I would like to do tonight is not so much to explain this story, but just to take and relate other scriptures to the story so that we can see it with our own eyes, hear it with our own ears. The Lord Jesus often taught in stories, and we are made so that stories we remember. Stories mean things to us. The Lord God made a help meet for him. Let's turn to Ephesians in chapter 5. We'll start at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam. And he removed a rib. And from that rib, he fashioned a woman. She was indeed flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Today we would probably use a term to represent this kind of process, something like cloning. Adam and Eve genetically, as far as the genetic makeup was concerned, they were identical. She was truly bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. She was taken from his side. And so she therefore had to be suitable for him. She was like him in every way except gender. Well, the scripture says, when it speaks of the church, that we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And what it means by that is that we have been given a new nature. The moment we became a Christian, the Holy Spirit came to dwell within our hearts. We were imparted by God a new nature. A nature from God himself. So that the scriptures can speak of the church as bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Specifically for him, she was created. Now, this operation required the shedding of blood. Scripture says, the Lord took one of Adam's ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Now, and the taking out of that bone, there had to be some bloodshed. Now, I still wonder about this. Was there a scar? How did the Lord close up the wound? He instantly healed it, perhaps. Doesn't say anything about stitching. Don't think he did. Don't think he needed to. But in removing of the rib, there had to be bloodshed. Now, what do we read about the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride? Well, we go to Ephesians and chapter 1. And verse 7, speaking of the Lord Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It cost Adam a couple of drops of blood to have a helpmeet suitable for him. To obtain a wife. Cost him a couple of drops of blood. Absolutely painless. He was in a deep sleep. The Lord put him in a deep sleep. And when he awoke, there was Eve. The bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cost him. All his precious blood. And he was not put into a deep sleep. He suffered agony untold. Behold the kindness of God. The suffering that he withheld from Adam. In giving Adam a helpmeet suitably perfect for him. He did not withhold from his one and only Son. And all of the punishment that you and I should have received, the Lord Jesus suffered at the place called Calvary. Not just the physical suffering, but the mental and the spiritual suffering, which we cannot even begin to contemplate. It cost the Lord Jesus few drops of blood to obtain for himself a bride suitable for himself. It's interesting, the Hebrew word for man is ish. The Hebrew word for woman is isha. Now, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. Ishti is wife. Similar to Isha. Ishti is my wife. You know, it's interesting, when we were in Israel, several years ago, we saw so many young men running around in army uniforms, and they always had, a firearm with them, an Uzi, or, M16, or something of this nature. 17, 18 year old guys, everywhere you look, they were running around with these Uzis. And, you know, the first time you see that, you do get taken aback. But then you realize, well, you know, they're there to protect the population, essentially. And after a while, you just don't even notice it at all. But we were talking to one of them, and they said that, yeah, we call our firearm, our Uzi, we call it Ishti, my wife, because we are never separated. She is always with me, at my side. And they do. They carry them home with them. They sleep with them by their side. And in this perfect relationship, Adam and Eve were to have, first of all in the garden, and then after the fall in earth, there's a picture of the perfect relationship that there is between the Lord Jesus and his bride. He is Christ, and we are Christians. just like Ish and Isha, right? Christian. We are his bride. We are always with him. Never shall we part throughout the countless ages of eternity. The Lord has procured for himself a bride forever. Now it's interesting that the scripture is so precise. Scripture is so precise. In verse 22, well, let's go back first of all. In verse 7 of chapter 2, it says, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. And the word there is, it's almost literally as if God took his hand and formed out of a plasticine mold the shape of man. That's the meaning of the word. Formed. Not created. The world was created. God spoke, and the world came into being. But it says he formed man. And that's a different kind of a word. Now when we come to verse 22, it says, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, it says in the King James, and brought her to the man. Well, that word is a different word again. And it's probably better translated, builded. He builded, or built, a woman from the rib. It's a different word again. Now, what does the scripture say? Well, let's go to Matthew and chapter 16. The Lord Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's speaking about the confession that Peter made to him. And in verse 18 he says, I say unto thee, speaking to Peter, the Lord Jesus is, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will build my church. Scripture is very precise. We're not only spoken of in the scripture as the bride of Christ, we're spoken of as a building. We are living stones. We're built up to a habitation of God. And we have the first inkling of this way back in Genesis when he says, he built Eve. And he's building his church today. The foundation, the apostles and prophets, the Lord Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, and we are living stones, being built one upon another to a habitation of God. Now, we're not separate creations in this sense. The angels are all separate creations. Each of the angels God created separately. He didn't create one angel and all the other angels are descended from that angel. He created all the angels separately. And many theologians feel that this is why the angels cannot be redeemed. Because each one is a separate creation. To save a Lucifer, the Lord Jesus would have to become Lucifer. This is an impossibility, even for God. To save man, the Lord only has to become a man. To partake of our nature. To partake of Gabriel's nature, he would have to become Gabriel. Because Gabriel is distinct from all other of the creations of God. He's a separate creation. But we derive our nature from Adam. And so did Eve. Eve derived her nature from Adam. She was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Now let's turn again and see what the scripture says in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and let's start at verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Brothers and sisters, just as Eve derived her nature from Adam, so we are to be conformed to the image of God's Son. And that process is not over yet. It's not over yet. For Eve, it was more or less an instantaneous thing. When Adam awoke, there she was. For us, it will take somewhat little longer. But there is coming a time, brothers and sisters, when we will be conformed, fully conformed, to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. D.L. Moody said, to someone, I'm not sure if it was just as he was about to die or when he was becoming ill. He said to someone, if you were to see me 5 minutes after I pass out of this life, you would be tempted to fall at my feet and worship me, because I will look like my Savior. I will be like my Savior. And the object of God is to win a bride for his Son. She was brought to Adam by God. And what does the scripture say? Well, let's turn to John in chapter 6, I believe it is. What does the scripture say? Verse 44. John chapter 6, verse 44. No man, the Lord Jesus says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. I will raise him up at the last day. And just as Eve was brought to Adam, so the Father draws us to Christ. There are so many amazing parallels with this little story. Verse 24. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Finally, in John chapter 17, and we'll start in verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, that is, disciples that were there present, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now what do we say to these things? What do we say to these things? That we shall be one. We shall be one. There's coming a time, brethren and sisters, when we will meet the Lord Jesus at that great marriage supper of the Lamb. where we will be clean everywhere. We will be made perfect like Him. And finally united to Him throughout the countless ages of eternity. In such a close relationship that the Scripture says, the Lord Jesus prays to the Father that we may be one with Him. Now, brethren and sisters, I don't pretend to understand that. It's one of those things that when you read it, you feel like taking your shoes off. Because the place whereon you stand is very holy ground. What does this mean? That we will be united with Christ in such a way that the Scripture calls us one. And finally, it says they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, we read these words, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." Now, those words there, naked and open, are very specific. They're the very words that were used in gladiator contests. And when the gladiator was vanquished, and he was lying in the dust of defeat, and they would appeal to Caesar, and he'd put his thumb down, or however it was. The victorious gladiator would lean his head back and thrust the sword in. His neck was open, naked and open. But that's in the dust of defeat. Here in Genesis, they were naked and they were not ashamed. And there is coming a day, brethren and sisters, as we stand before God now, there is shame for that which we have within us that is not yet conformed to the image of Christ. How can we stand before God and not feel some shame, even though we know that all of our sins are paid for? There is coming a day, brothers and sisters, there is coming a day when we will stand before God naked and not ashamed. Because we will be made perfect and suitable to be related to His Son. Hallelujah. What a thing that we have. Let's close in prayer. Our God and Father, we do thank Thee for this simple story in Thy Word. And yet, as we compare it, Scripture with Scripture, with so much that is taught in other places, we see, O Lord, what Thou hast intended for us. Our hearts are humbled. And we give Thee our heartfelt thanks for this relationship that Thou hast brought us into, that Thou hast made us the bride of Christ. How we thank Thee, O Lord, for what Thou hast done for us, and are doing, and yet will one day do, so that we may be brought before Thy throne, naked, and yet not ashamed. As we stand there in such a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that Thy Word says, we cannot be separated. Neither life nor death, nor principalities, nor power, nor any other created thing shall separate us from the love of Christ. How we thank Thee, O God, for Him, as we pray in His name.